this morning? Hallelujah. God bless you. It's good to be back together once again. I am just was talking with someone yesterday, and just, you know, you don't realize how much you want to give someone a hug. And you don't realize how much it's become a part of who and what you are. And we're going through withdrawal, so I'd have to buy a little teddy bear or something and take it out on the bear for a little while. But God bless you. Thank you, musicians. Nice to be back together once again. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, we'll start at the 7th verse. Now, if you're wondering, if you're thinking, well, it seems strange that we're spending so much time on this entering in phase where they've joined together on their wedding night and the two have become one. Well, that's because from the moment that you were quickened by the Holy Spirit, that's where you've been.
Amen. That's right.
And that's where you'll be until the body change.
Amen.
Hid with him in a secret place behind the veil. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinir and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravaged my heart. My spouse. Thou hast ravaged. She's literally captured his heart. With one of thine eyes. Didn't take two, just one. With one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine. And the smell of thine ointments than all spices. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we're grateful to be gathered together once again with those of like precious faith. We thank you, Lord, for our health. We thank you for all the provisions that you've made for us. We thank you, Lord, that you saw our day and you left nothing undone, Lord. If there was something better to give us, you would have done it. Lord, you've given us the very thing that we have need of. You've given us the fullness of your word to stand as a banner, to stand in this hour, in this age, against the onslaught of the enemy. And Lord, we just invite your presence once again to minister to our hearts, to come in, Lord. We don't want just your anointing to fall upon us this morning, though, Lord, we enjoy that. We enjoy just sensing your presence, but we want something more than that this morning, Lord. We need something more than that. Our desire is to sup with you and you with us, for you to speak to our hearts, to minister to our needs, Lord, to bring the words of life that we have need of for the days that lie ahead of us. Father, I just ask for your blessings to be upon each and every one, those that are present this morning, those that are listening in, those that will listen in. Lord, we ask for the body, the mystical body around the earth, Lord, those that are sick this morning, may your healing virtue find them. Lord, may your Holy Spirit minister to each and every one. May your angels, Lord, minister to those that are called by your name. Father, we just love you so much, and we give you all praise and honor and glory this morning. In the name above all names, in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm so thankful this morning for the loving relationship that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ. Our relationship with him is not one that grows old. It's not one that gets stale. It's not one that we hopefully take for granted. It's not one that gets wrinkles and gets forgetful, but it's new every moment. It's new every day. It's a love that grows, and it's a love that becomes deeper with each passing day. Now, it's not growing on his end, it's growing on our end as we come to a greater and greater realization of just who he is and what he is, and as we walk with him and as he washes us with the water of the word. Unlike in the physical realm, he's not getting any older. And I got news for you this morning. That part of you that's been born of the Spirit of God, it's not aging either. This union can never be severed. It can never be broken. And it is as it should be. It's not a shotgun wedding, but it's a wedding preordained and predestinated before the foundation of the world. So, you know, those of us that are born again of the Spirit, that have been walking with Him, we wonder, you know, how did I ever get by without Him, without that personal walk that I once lacked in my life? Now, this woman, she's now united with her bridegroom. And the scene, as we've looked at a few times now, the scene is they're alone, they're together, there's nobody else in that room, they're in the bridal chamber. The guests are still celebrating the festivities and taking advantage of the entertainment and so forth that's been provided. But these two are now one, and they are getting to know one another in a greater and more intimate way. They are fellowshipping in a way that they've never fellowshipped before. She has captured his heart, as we've read, and their attention now is entirely upon one another. They're not thinking about the cake. They're not thinking about the festivities. They're not thinking about the things that were, but they're thinking about things that are to be. So everybody else is out of the picture, and their attention is completely upon one another. Now, this woman, she's never been married. Unlike us, we were all born united to another nature that ruled over us. We didn't come to this, become subject to vanity willingly, but our first family, our father, our Adam and his wife, they sold us out in the garden, and so each one of us was born in sin. Each one of us was born united with a fallen nature. Whereas this woman was she's never been married before, and so this woman didn't have to, unlike us, she didn't have to deal with memories of, you know, when she was another person, deeds that were committed when she was another person, as you and I have to deal with because we're born again of the Spirit of God. We have things in our subconscious that must be searched and must be discerned and washed by the water of the Word. And the thing is, it's not something that we're trying to do, but it's what the Word is doing. The Word is searching us and washing us. Every time we come together for the hearing of the Word, we're being washed by the water of the Word. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So things that happen to us as a result of our first union with that fallen nature that resulted in us forming complexes and other defensive mechanisms in order to survive that in that first union, we have to deal with those things. We have thoughts that have shaped out views in our lives and shaped our understanding. And likewise, these things must be washed. These things must be sifted, washed by the water of the Word. Thoughts that ensnare us. Thoughts that limit us. Thoughts that lie about us. Thoughts that define us as who we were instead of who we are. Others will remember you as you were in your first union. Mom will remember you that way. Dad will remember you that way. Your friends from school will remember you that way. And as far as they're concerned, if they're not born again of the Spirit of God, you're still the same person. They've got pictures. They've got proof. They've got evidence of when you lived like the rest of the world, when you were as all others. Maybe they have a picture of you grinning with a beer can in your hand. Or of you running around in shorts and a t-shirt. That goes for man or woman. With a chain hanging around your neck, perhaps, and some kind of a funny hairdo that you cringe when you're reminded of it. You've got memories, perhaps, of unkind words that you've spoke to someone, or speaking back to your parents, or saying something about someone else that wasn't true, or of fights, or yelling, or wanting to get even with somebody for their mistreatment of you. Those memories are there. Your flesh, perhaps, has scars in it that remind you of your past. Music that you once listened to, it lingers in the background in your memories. And we long to be delivered of this pest house. We long to be separated, not just from this pest house, but from memories of our prior union. But that's not going to happen until this earthly tabernacle is dissolved and our spirit breaks up and departs from us and we step into our theophany. And really, friends, if you think about it for a moment, how could we fully appreciate what he's done for us and what he is doing for us without the memories of what life was like without him? We live under the law of contrast in this realm, and the new birth doesn't do away with that law. But that law actually magnifies things for us. It actually brings things into context. It actually, you know, we can't appreciate hot unless we've ever experienced cold. We can't really appreciate love until we've experienced a lack of love. We can't experience and appreciate healing unless we've been sick. So this law of contrast in our lives, it not only proves to us who the Lord Jesus is, but it also proves to us who and what we really are, and also what we're not, because we're reminded of what we used to be, and now we realize that's not who we are any longer. So this woman in this story, this bride, she's not been married before. And so she doesn't have the same things to deal with, perhaps, that you and I do. Even so, being a type or a shadow, she has things that are similar in that she's moved from where she used to live to where he lives. She now has different associates. She now eats different food. She has a different position. She's changed her social class from being a shepherdess and a tender of vineyards, and to from being almost a slave to her brothers, and now she's a queen. What a switch. What a change. And she's been told prior that she's a woman of low estate, that she's just a common woman. Her skin's like leather. It's been darkened by the sun and it's dried out. And she's just a common person. And but now she's a queen. And her husband is telling her who she really is. And actually who she has been all along, but she didn't know it. Now, you and I this morning, we might look at this woman. We might say, you know, wish it would have been that way for me. I wish I could have skipped all these bad times and hard times and, you know, living like a pig, living out in the pig pen. But actually, when you are born from above, you are actually more in a virgin state than this woman was, because you have a new nature. You have a new identity. It's not this is what you were and this is what you are. What you were is no longer who you are. And who you are is all that you are. And it's actually all that you've ever been. But you're waiting to be quickened by the Spirit of God. You came from God. You're here for a purpose. You are quickened by the Spirit, and that's who you really are. There's no fault in you when you're born from above. Now, we're not talking about this carcass. This carcass has to fall off. And we're not talking about the spirit realm. The spirit will depart from you. But we're talking about that gene seed that's down on the inside that was quickened, that is now a new creation, a new creature in Jesus Christ. Now, we have trouble seeing this because we still have memories and we still have thought patterns that were burned into our brain cells because we thought certain ways and we were told certain things, and we find ourselves having to bring these other two realms constantly subject to the word, because they must be ruled over. They were ruled over by an evil taskmaster, but now there's a new housekeeper. There's a new lord of the house. And we must bring those other two realms subject to the word of God. But our Lord Jesus, we know he can only marry a virgin. He can only marry a virtuous woman, and she must be a virgin to his word. She must not be guilty of unbelief. Unbelief brings death. And so, friends, either we are who he says we are when we're born again of the Spirit of God. Either we are virtuous, pure, without sin. Boy, is it quiet. Either that's true, or this whole drama is a lie. If part of it isn't true, none of it is true. Now, as a reminder here this morning, from Leviticus chapter 21, verse 12, speaking of the high priest and the lineage of the high priest, there were requirements that were levied upon the high priest and his lineage that were more strict and more stringent than the requirements on the Levites, and also the requirements on the Levites were stricter than what was on the congregation in general. From verse 12, neither shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God, for the crown of the anointing of oil of his God is upon him. I am the Lord. And he shall take a wife in her virginity, a widow or a divorced woman, or profane or an harlot. These shall he not take, but he shall take a virgin of his own people to wife. So she had to be from his own people, and she had to be a virgin. Now we know if you're a Levite, if you're a priest, you could take, say that another priest died and who had a wife, you could take his wife to be your wife after he passed on. But not so for a high priest. Because this high priest is typing our high priest. Amen. He's typing the coming of the true high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ. So recall that these requirements were levied on the high priest and those that were in the lineage of the high priest that would take over at some point in time as high priest as the mantle was passed on. So the high priest dwelled in the sanctuary. He kept it clean. It's a type of our high priest dwelling behind the veil in your soul. And keeping, by the washing of the water of the word, keeping your sanctuary clean. And the woman that he married could not have been touched by another man or even promised to another man. If there were betrothed and say the man died but the wedding never took place, well, she couldn't be united with a high priest. So once again, this types Jesus Christ that was to come as our high priest. And he was the very fulfillment of this. Now, James catches this type and he speaks about it through the revelation that was given to him. In James chapter 1, verse 18, he says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Now, that sounds very strange, but it all ties together. And it ties together with the types that were foreshadowed in the Old Testament. And we want to go over that for a few minutes this morning, if you'll bear with us. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. So James shows us that it was his will that brought you to the new birth. Now, I'm sure somebody might want to argue with that. Oh, no, it was my choice. No, it wasn't. It was his. Amen. It was his will that brought you to a new birth. Not our will, but his will. Of course, you know, you agreed to die out to your first nature, but only because it was his will for you to be born again by him. The word will here means to will deliberately, to have a purpose, to be minded of willing as an affection or to desire. And the word begat, used in this case, it means to bring forth from the womb, to give birth to produce. Now, he's both our father and our mother. He's both the seed and the anointing, the spirit that came to quicken that seed, to manifest that seed, to bring it to life. So we came forth from his own being. The only way you can be eternal is if you were in him to begin with. We came forth from his own being and by his own will. This was his idea. It wasn't our idea. In fact, you can't come forth unless you were in him. And if you are in him, he predestinated for you to come forth. So we are his seed. You can't be a child of God if you didn't come from him. Amen. We are his seed, and we are quickened by his spirit according to his own will. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. You know, I love the fact that it's all in his control. Because if I've got a part in it, I'll mess it up. So we aren't born this second time by the will of man. And we're not born the second time by the will of the flesh. But we are born of his own will. Amen. It's the sovereignty of God that brought us to a new birth. There was an appointed time for you to come to that new birth. So both the seed and the life come from God. The seed is in you, of course, when you're birthed in the natural. When you come forth from your mother's womb, that seed is laying there, dormant. But just as it is in nature, the seed cannot manifest what's in it until it comes in contact with something else. Something has to quicken it. Something has to bring that spark. Something has to cause that life to come forth. So that seed, it must be quickened by the presence of God. His life-giving spirit broods over that seed, just as he's done over nature, just as we read about it in the book of Genesis. It's his life-giving spirit that broods over the seed that he created, and he actually births that seed, making him your father and your mother. Now, you had no choice in your first birth. You came by the will of your parents, or you came by the will of flesh. But it wasn't you raising your hand saying, I want to come. None of us chose to be here. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And really, you had no choice in your second birth either. I know that's going to flatten somebody. But you were born from above by the will of your heavenly Father, who is both your father and your mother. And it was his will for you to be born from above. He decided that you would be born, first and foremost. He decided when you would be born. And he decided who you would be when you were born. What part of that did you have a part in? None of it. God himself willed that there would be a bride. He actually birthed his own bride. Created his own. She came from him just as Eve came from Adam. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So we were begat of the word of truth. You heard the living word in your day, and something began to take place. And we are a kind of first fruits, which we want to look at here for a few moments this morning. First fruits, the first portion of the dough from which sacred loaves were to be prepared. Hence, term used of persons consecrated to God for all time. Not just part-time, but for all time. Listen to this. Persons superior in excellence to others of the same class. Now, this is a flattener, because it sounds like we're saying I'm better than you. But whatever you are by the grace of God. You are what God made you. And you'll see that we are of another class. The bride is of another class. Just as the bridegroom is of another class. So the bride of Christ, she's superior because she's of the right dough. And we look just like everybody else. We get sick like everybody else. We have to eat like everybody else. We have to work. We have to sleep. All these other things. But inside, something's different. There's an actual new creation that's taken place down on the inside. Inside of us, if you will, is the dough of God. So when the Eternal One became the Word, as God was condescending, he's the Eternal One, the unseen, unknown God, but he wanted to become known, and he begins to condescend. He created himself into his own creation in the form of the Logos. He became the Word, the Son of God, which is God condescending. But what being a Son of God, he was all that was in God now being manifested in the Logos. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He was the offspring of himself, if you will. Amen. He's bringing himself into his own creation. Amen. Now, the new birth in your soul It's a continuation of the condescension of God, because that word, that thought became word, and he's the attribute of the fullness of God. All that God is was poured into Christ. But then Christ became flesh. The Word became flesh as the first fruit of the new creation. And if it's a first fruit, then that means there has to be a second fruit and a third fruit, a continuation, right? So the Word became flesh. God condescended and the Word became flesh. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
But the Word is continuing to become flesh. In the rest of the God race, in the rest of the new creation, the first fruit, what's special about the first fruit, one of the things that's special about it is that it is a testimony of what will come after it. It's actually a promise. It's a statement that here's the first fruit. What you're going to see later on is the same thing. If the crop, let's say there was a drought in the field. Let's say the first fruit comes forth and the growth of it is kind of stunted. Well, guess what? The rest of the crop's going to look like that too. Let's say that, locusts and other critters came through and nipped away at the plant, which kind of stunted its growth or whatever it might have done. Well, you're going to see that in the rest of the harvest when it comes forth. So whatever that first fruit is, it's representing what's to come.
Amen.
Exodus chapter 23, verse 16. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. So what we want to keep in mind here is that God reserves the first fruit to himself. That's what a tithe is. A tithe is you giving back to God the increase first, and it belongs to him.
Amen.
And you giving it back to him shows that you trust him. Exodus 23:19. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. He gets the first fruit. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. Leviticus 23:10. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then shall ye bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. So the harvest is ripe. There's a portion that of grain that ripens before the rest of the field, and maybe it's in a sunnier portion of the field, or it could just be, you know, if you've ever germinated seed before, you know that it doesn't all germinate at the same time. Some germinates sooner than others. So some will come to its ripeness before the rest of it. And they would cut off a sheaf of that and bring it to the priest as an offering. Not actually as an offering, but as a tithe. The first fruits, the offering of the first fruits is of God. And it's unto God. And it's a pattern that's all the way through the scripture. And once we see this, we can tie it into the other things, and what was in a shadow and a type becomes clear to us. So the offering of the first fruits is to God. They take it, they cut it off, they bring it to the priest, and then the priest takes it and waves it before the Lord on your behalf. And it's put on display for everybody to see. It's waved before the Lord, it's waved before the people, and it's a testimony also. Okay, the Lord, this belongs to you, but there's more to come. Because first fruit has no meaning if there isn't another fruit. Verse 11, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. Oh, there's some shouting material, not sleeping material. Wake up your neighbor and say, you know what, I'm about ready to shout. I'm about ready to shout. Because it's waved before the Lord on your behalf. And because it's accepted, you haven't even come to ripeness, but you're already accepted. Because the first fruit was accepted before the Lord. It signifies that all the rest is going to be just like this, and it will be accepted. Now, this first fruit is reserved to the Lord. Remember Jesus, when he died and he rose again, and they came and they wanted to touch him. He said, "Don't touch me." He couldn't be touched because he was the first fruits. He had to ascend first and be waved before his Father's throne. Amen. He had to be accepted. Amen. On our behalf. You couldn't, that first fruit offering is the Lord's only. It's not to be touched by anybody else. Amen. It is the Lord's. Amen. So in order to be accepted for you, for the rest of the harvest, he had to ascend and be waved at the Father's throne. Amen. And ye shall offer that day, when ye wave the sheaf, an he lamb without blemish of the first year, for a burnt offering unto the Lord. So the paying of tithes, it's typed in this, it's the first fruits of the Lord. Verse 17, you shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves. So there's already been a sheaf offering that was waved before the people. Now here's another offering. You shall bring out of your own, out of your habitations, 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. And they shall be of fine flour. So that corn of wheat has to be ground. In this case, it was barley. It's got to be ground up and made into a fine flour. It's all mixed together. It's a type of you and I that we, you know, we're individuals, but when we're baptized into one body, when we're ground up, we're all the same. They shall be a fine flour, and they shall be baking with leaven. Did I just read that? I thought we weren't supposed to have leaven, and I thought we weren't supposed to mix it in. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. What in the world? Fine flour mixed with leaven? Now we had this unleavened first fruit that was weighed before the Lord, accepted on our behalf, but now there's 2 loaves that have been baked and processed and put under pressure, and they're mixed intentionally with leaven. I hope somebody's listening. Intentionally mixed with humanity. You came from that same original corn of wheat, and you were ground into a fine flour, and you were mixed together in a mystical body, and you were placed in the oven, and you commingle with the oil that was added, which is a type of the Holy Spirit, and with the frankincense and of the humanity, which is a type of that leaven. Now, friends, this is not a sin offering. And it couldn't be a sin offering because it contains leaven. Our sin offering has already been offered. But what this signifies, notice, it comes out of your habitations. Out of your habitations comes the loaf. Verse 17, you shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves. Of 2/10 deals. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be baken with leaven. And they are the first fruits unto the Lord. So we know that the atonement couldn't be offered with leaven. It had to be unleavened. It had to be the pure word. But the first fruits are baked with leaven. Now that's not a type of the word being contaminated. That's a type of the word being brought forth in an earthen vessel. And this had to be offered at the house of God, and when you saw the loaves, you knew that the harvest time was coming to an end. You knew that you were in that cycle. You knew that there wasn't much more time, because here's the loaves that are a result of the harvest. They were offered to the Lord by the priests. And the loaves, friends, the loaves that were offered, recall, the loaves that were offered at Passover, they were unleavened. And Jesus is our Passover. The loaves at the Feast of Pentecost, 50 days later, they had loaves with leaven in them. You and I are overcomers. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, you are an overcomer. And it's Christ in you that's overcoming the world. Though we still make mistakes in these outer two realms, the leaven is still there. The humanity is still there. But it's a greater victory, friends. And I contend this morning, it's a greater victory to overcome in humanity than it would be in a... Actually, what would there be to overcome if you were in your theophany? You can't be tempted. So without humanity, where's the overcoming? And where's the proof that you have something that Adam and Eve didn't have? Where's the proof that you have something that they didn't have different stages in the church ages? So the wave sheaf was way before God. Remember, he ascended to his Father's throne, which is also typed as an altar. And the wave sheaf was way before God when he ascended. It was done in type and shadow by the high priest. And there was no leaven. 50 days later, the day of Pentecost came, and we find the first fruits with leaven in the loaves. And they are waved as first fruits. The inauguration of the church, the birth of the bride, the birth of the church of the living God. They are waved as the first fruits. And we get this type, friends. It's all consistent all the way through the scripture because we look first at Israel. Israel's a type of first fruits, but she's typing something that's to come. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2. Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in the land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruit of his increase, showing that there would be more. All that devour him shall offend. All that devour Israel shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Now, friends, the word holiness here, you know, actually in many, many places in the scripture, you know, we think of holiness and we think, well, I don't smoke and I don't drink and, you know, I don't go to the movie theater or whatever it might be. Those are attributes of a Christian life, perhaps, but that's not what it means in this context. What it means is to be separated unto him. Yeah. Set aside for the Lord. And it shows us that God desires a people that will walk with him. Yeah. And we look at it and we think of it, you know, here's granddad and we're going to walk with him, or here's dad and we're going to walk with him, but that's not the picture at all. It's God as a husband walking with his wife. Amen. Here on the earth. And when we enter into that walk with him, when we enter into that union with him, we're no longer walking with the world. We're separated from the world. We separate from our former associates. We separate from our family at times. Those that are not worthy to, those that are not willing to leave father, mother, sister, brother, for the gospel's sake, they're not even worthy. Those that turn back are not worthy. So we separate. Just as, you know, and it doesn't necessarily mean that what you're separating from is dad. When my wife and I got married, I no longer hung around with the guys that I used to hang around with. Did it mean that there was something wrong with those guys? Maybe, maybe not. But that wasn't the reason why I separated from them. I separated from them so that I would be separated unto my wife. so that we too would begin a new life together. So Israel was separated unto the Lord. Israel was a nation that was called out of the other nations. And they were the first fruit of His increase. God's increase. So the first fruits of God's increase is a tithe. So if you mishandled God's people, you were mishandling God's tithe. Israel was first fruits. And if Israel was the first fruit, then what it showed us is that other nations would come too. The Gentiles. From every kingdom, tongue, and nation. Israel was God's tithe. Israel was God's increase. They were a type of the family of God. They were raised by God. And people that would be called His increase, they would come once the Lord Jesus was received and His offering was accepted and He was waived as an offering. Remember, He said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it'll bring forth much fruit.
Amen.
So we are the increase from that first corn of wheat. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
We are made of the same thing that He's made of. Again, Israel was holiness unto the Lord and the first fruits of His increase. All that devour Him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. So if you came against these people who were the Lord's increase, you were guilty. It was as if you stole God's tithes. And so is it with the New Testament people. The way you treat God's people, he's taken that into account. That's it belongs to Him. It's His increase. So if you come against the bride, you're guilty of trying to eat up God's increase that's reserved unto Him. Friends, we're called unto holiness. We're called to separate ourselves and to walk with Him in an Enoch walk. That's our type.
Right.
Separated unto the Lord as His first fruits. Israel was God's offering unto Himself. Now, this is a powerful thought. Israel was God's offering unto Himself. You say, well, how could God offer something unto Himself? Well, thank you for asking. Israel was God's offering unto Himself. And He paid tithes. Who'd He pay tithes to? The high priest. Who's the high priest? The Logos. Think about it, friends. He paid tithes unto Himself. He paid tithes to the Son of God, the Logos. You still with me?
Yes.
And then the Logos said when He became flesh, all that the Father has given me will come.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You are the tithes that were paid to your high priest.
Amen.
And you belong to Him.
Amen.
And He's watching over that increase. He's watching over that tithe. You were given to Him. Hallelujah. That's why you belong to Him. Glory to God. Israel was God's offering unto Himself. And He paid tithes unto the high priest. And that's why we have that type of Melchizedek paying tithes to Abraham. So Israel was eventually put away because Israel was defiled. So God says, I'm not going to give up on this idea. But I'm going to bring forth another people. But wait. Cro-Magnon men? Where are these other people? Where are they going to come from? I'll create them.
Amen.
I'll create a new race.
Hallelujah.
And they'll be birthed from above.
Amen.
Not from below. But they'll be birthed in leaven. They'll be birthed in humanity.
Amen.
I've already placed my deposit in them.
Amen.
Satan would like to know who that is, but he can't see behind the veil.
Amen.
No matter how far in sin that you were buried, he knows his own.
Amen.
He said, Father, you gave them to me.
Hallelujah.
I'll make sure they come forth.
Hallelujah.
I'll birth each and every one in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'll bring my word. I'll quicken them. I'll bring them forth. Oh, glory to God. So Israel was eventually put away because Israel was defiled. So God gets a new people by creating a new race. And the first of this new race is God creating himself into his own creation.
Amen.
The first of this new race is offered and waved before the Lord. And the rest of the new race are offered to the high priest as tithes. And he is our high priest.
Amen.
God paid tithes unto the high priest. And you are that tithe.
Amen.
Oh, shout.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Who can take you? Who can separate you from the love of God? Who can sidetrack you? Can sickness do it? Can peril do it? Can being called bad names do it? Can being kicked out of church do it? Who can separate you from your high priest? Friends, so much of the time, the things that we struggle with and the things that are so painful for us, it's nothing but the tender hand of Jehovah. Sometimes he's got to make the nest sticky. Because if he didn't make the nest sticky, we'd stay in that nest. But he's got a purpose for us. He's got a place for us to go. And we've got to learn how to use those great big wings. And we've got to learn to fly. And we've got to learn to... And so he'll let the nest get sticky and prickly to where you're not comfortable any longer. Think about it. We in our humanness, we wouldn't make a change. We in our humanness, we'd stay. We'd go down with the ship if it were. But God said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. And they're not evil. So don't look at this as evil. I'm doing something. Just hold on. I'm doing something. I have great plans for you. And as the doctor says, this might hurt for a moment, but you'll feel better in a while. Somebody say glory to God. But what have I got to suffer? Why did he have to suffer? It's through suffering that these things are made manifest in our lives. No other way. First Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So it's speaking of the resurrection there. He's the first fruits of them that slept because he's the first one to come forth. First fruits, to offer firstlings or first fruits, the first portion of the dough from which sacred loaves were to be prepared. Persons superior in excellence to others of the same class. Now, friends, there's no argument that he's superior to others of the same class. No argument at all. In the millennium, he'll rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But what about the queen? Isn't she of another class? Isn't she of another level of the same class? Is she like the rest of those that will live outside of the city throughout eternity?
No.
We can say that, and we're not being bigoted. We can say that, and we're not being proudful. We say that by revelation.
Amen.
And we say that not because of anything that we've done, but it's who he made us.
Amen.
Chapter 15, verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. How are you his? You are his. You're the tithe. You're the first fruits that were paid to him. You belong to him.
Amen.
We sing that song without revelation, with partial revelation, I suppose, and it just gets deeper and deeper as we walk with him further and further. But remember singing, now I belong to Jesus. You really do belong to him.
Amen.
And not just because you were bought with a price, but you were paid as a tithe. The bride is the tithe of the church. The church will come forth. The church will be judged. The church will inhabit the earth. But the bride is the tithe. Matthew 27:51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. This is at his crucifixion. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Now, they didn't raise until after he did. Jesus was the first part of the resurrection. And then there's two loaves. Well, what are these two loaves? Well, there's an Old Testament people, and there's a New Testament people that are raised from the dead.
Amen.
The New Testament bride is the second loaf. And when the loaf is received into glory, it'll contain no leaven. He'll get rid of the leaven. You'll be in a new body.
Amen.
There'll be no leaven.
Amen.
And we will be offered to him.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
He's coming for what belongs to him.
Amen.
He's not coming for leaven. He's coming for what belongs to him. So the first loaf and part of the second loaf are at this moment waiting in the sixth dimension. They're waiting for the resurrection. They're waiting for the time when they will pick up new bodies that contain no leaven. And then they will wait for us to be changed. Those of us that are alive and remain, to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. So that we can be gathered together and we will be offered to him at that time of the meeting in the air.
Amen.
Verse 53, and came out of the grave after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. He's the first fruit, so. Those that live a life that's separated unto him, they will resurrect one day. Those that live a life with the world, well, that's a different story. But to be separated unto him on that side means being separated unto him on this side. Well, hallelujah. You know, I'm ashamed to say it, friends, but I'll just be open with you this morning. Being raised with a veil over my understanding and not being fully birthed by the Spirit of God, it sounded like a downer to be in a walk with him all the time, you know? It sounded like you had to be like some monk up in some monastery on a, you know... Can't do this, can't do that, got to wear a potato sack, got to have your, you know, bald head and, you know, one of them ugly hairdos and look pudgy and, you know, pray on these beads and whatever. It sounded like a, Like a ball and chain. Boy, was I mistaken. Boy, was I lied to. This is real life. We weren't even living. This is life. I was dead while I yet lived. And then he came. The Jesus of the Bible, not the religious one, the Jesus of the Bible. Now let's read a few statements before we pull over here this morning from the message, It is the Rising of the Sun. He says, but did you notice in this memorial to wave it on the first day of the week? So scripture talks about it being waved on the Sabbath, but it really wasn't. It wasn't Saturday, it was Sunday. In this case, the sheaf, which was the first of your seed that you planted, when it come up and it ripened, you cut down the sheaf and you take it to the priest. And let him take it and wave it before the Lord for your exception. It's so that you would be accepted. You have come with your sheaf, and he is to wave it before the Lord. He says, not on the Sabbath, the seventh day, but on the first day. We call it Sunday, S-U-N-D-A-Y. Of course, that's a Roman word, which they called it the Sunday for the sun god. But how it is changed, he says. How it is changed. It's not S-U-N anymore. It's S-O-N. It is now S-O-N day. The Sunday that the corn of wheat, God's first one up from the dead, is to be waved over the congregation that we are his seed.
Amen.
And that's the first of the seed of those that slept, waved upon the first day of the week. On Sunday, he raised up. He waved goodbye. He raised up. He's ascending. He's waving goodbye. He ascended up on high in the presence of the people. Notice, it was the first corn of God's wheat that had been raised from the dead. God's first corn of wheat.
Amen.
By God's quickening power, God had quickened his life, raised him up from the dead, and he was the first fruits of those that slept. The first fruit, he was that sheaf.
Amen.
How many can say praise the Lord? And that's why they had to wave that sheaf, for it was the first one that come to maturity, and it was waved as a memorial of thanksgiving to God, believing that the rest of them would come. It was a sign. He actually foreran you. It was a sign forerunning you. Just as this message foreruns you. Glory to God. What a sign this morning, friends. So that seed that was laying down on the inside of you, that you came to this earth with, that science can't detect, that they don't have any instruments to pick it up. But it was there nevertheless. And it was laying there dormant. Dead, if you will. But you were raised from the dead. You who were once dead, hath he quickened. You were raised from the dead when he was raised from the dead.
Amen.
And you were quickened in this mortal realm when his spirit came in contact, when you heard the word, and his spirit came in contact with that seed. Again, he says, and today, because he was the first son of God. Oh, I love how this is put, friends. Things just laying there. He didn't go through and explain all this stuff like he explained everything else. And we're not going to get something out of here that he didn't say, so don't get nervous. Because we've seen that time and time again. Some hidden message in between the lines. Well, if it contradicts the lines, it's got to agree all the way through. He was the first son of God to come to full maturity. Well, what does first mean? You don't use the word first if it's only. Now, we showed you last week, he's the only begotten of the Father. At that time, he was the only begotten of the Father. But then we read a scripture to you, and you hath he begotten. He must be born again. Actually, as we found out, it's not born again. You must be born from above.
Amen.
He that's born from below is earthy. He that's born from above is heavenly. And today, because he was the first Son of God amongst many brethren that would come. He was the first Son of God to come to full maturity, to be in God. He was plucked up from the earth and he's waved over the people. Oh, what a glorious lesson, he says. By quickening power, the first one, although he had been typed, and many times, as we'll see later, that he was typed, but this was really the first fruit of them that slept. He was waved over the promised seed that had promise of life.
Amen.
He was waved at the day of Pentecost when there came a sound from heaven like a waving. Oh, I thought it was a rushing mighty wind. Yeah, the wind as it's being waved. The sound of a rushing mighty wind. Oh, glory to God. He was waved at the day of Pentecost when there come a sound from heaven like a waving, mighty rushing wind, and was waved over the people. The Pentecostal people that was up at Pentecost waiting for the blessing to come.
Amen.
And to be waved again, we realize. Remember, they bound the Spirit through the ages. And to be waved again, we realize, in the last day, according to Luke 17:30, in the Sunday, again, in the day that the Son of Man will be revealed in the seventh church age, or waved again over the people. It was waved twice in the Old Testament, showing that it would be waved twice in the manifestation. It was waved once on the day of Pentecost. It's waved again in the end time when the Son of Man is being revealed once again. Waved before the people, waved over the people. Now, who is this Son of Man? Who is the Son of Man? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And if all the teaching that we have and confirmation of the Word of God by the Word of God, by signs, by wonders, we see today, that in the book of Luke here, that as we just quoted, Luke the 17th chapter and the 30th verse, and Malachi 4 and different scriptures that we are acquainted with, That word again.
Amen.
This isn't a different word.
Amen.
That word again.
Amen.
That word again is waved over the people. And the dead traditions of man is dead.
Amen.
And the Son of God is alive again.
Amen.
With the baptism of the Holy Spirit right amongst us. And it's giving us life. Now there are those that take this too far, and they make Brother Branham the one that was waved again. But it's the same one that had to be waved again. Okay, if it's the same one, then I guess Brother Branham's Jesus Christ. Oh, but we're not calling him that, but yeah, you are. Brother Branham, are you the Son of Man? Nope. Is the pillar of fire the Son of Man? Nope. Well, then who is the Son of Man? It's that same word becoming flesh. But Brother Branham is part of the same body that we're part of. Just as Paul is. But Christ had to return in the fullness of his word and be waved over us.
Yes,
in order for us to come forth into the fullness of the resurrection. As Christ was the first one to raise from all the prophets and so forth, although typed in many places, he was the first fruits of those that slept. In the bride coming of Christ, we want to put it all in Brother Branham. There was a time when we, and there still is, where we have to recognize that's God's vessel, that's how God works. It would come through that ministry. If there was two men, there'd be two different ideas. It had to come through one man. It had to be the Word. We had to recognize that. But what was the point for a one-man resurrection? The whole point is you. If it wasn't for you, God wouldn't have sent Elijah. There'd be no reason for him to send Elijah to turn your heart.
Amen.
How could he go looking for a bride for the bridegroom if there is no bride? And he's certainly not the fulfillment of it himself. He's a portion of it. Oh, he's got a greater position. There's no doubt about that. We're not discussing that or arguing that. There are different positions here. There'll be different positions there. I don't want his job. I don't want to suffer like he did. I don't want my job. Why would I want his? But we'll gladly do what we're called to do. He was the first fruits of those that slept. In the bride coming of Christ, coming out of the church, there'll have to be a sheaf waved again in the last days. There'll have to be a sheaf waved again in the last days. There'll have to be a sheaf waved again. It'll have to be this, the same as what was waved in the beginning, because he's the first fruits. So it'll have to be Christ the Word. Oh my, he says, waving of the sheaf. What was the sheaf? The first one that come to mature. And no, that doesn't mean Brother Branham. The first one that come to mature. If it meant Brother Branham, then Paul would be the first sheaf that was offered. Because wasn't he like the first one that come to maturity in the New Testament? So don't miss your types here. Waving of the sheep. What was the sheep? The first one that come to mature. The first one that proved it was wheat. That proved it was sheaf. Now friends, he was proven in our day. Oh, we could just preach so many different sermons here. Think about it. There was a court trial. And there he was accused. Who was? Christ the Word. The Word came on the scene. And the Word was vindicated. As far as I'm concerned, it was over vindicated. It was more proven in our day than it was 2,000 years ago. And it was proven 2,000 years ago. Don't get me wrong. And we're not belittling what was done 2,000 years ago. But it was done. There was more done in our day. Than it was, and it wasn't done in a dark alley somewhere. It was done all around the world. Before kings and potentates. And the religious world put him on trial. But they could find no fault in him. Where's his accusers? Oh, isn't it interesting that they wait? I was going to say 50 years. Time marches on. 70 years. Or thereabouts. And now they want to put him on trial. It's too late. We already had the trial. The court trial took place in the 60s. We heard it preached time and time again. I challenge you to come up here and stand on my right side and show me in the scriptures where he is wrong, where this isn't him. He said, quietest bunch you ever saw. He said they had more intelligence than I gave them credit for. Not one of them came up. Where are those accusers now? Friends, if they had an accusation to make, it was made then. The trial's over. Not guilty. They claimed he was guilty. They crucified the Word.
Yeah, yeah.
The Word had to be vindicated, proven, manifested, and then rejected, crucified.
Yeah.
A second time.
Right.
But in order to crucify it, the Word had to be here.
Yeah.
And what did the crucifixion produce? A sheaf offering, a wave offering. And what did that produce? A rest of the crop. Oh, one of these days you're going to wake up and you're going to realize, you know what, when that court trial was taking place, I was being charged. Because whatever this message is, I'm associated with it. Because this message is telling me who I am. This message wasn't sent to put a uniform on me and say, okay, now you got to act this way and you got to have white walls around you, or brown walls if you're Latino, or black walls if you're a black man, yellow walls if you're Oriental, Asian, whatever. It wasn't sent for that reason. It wasn't sent for me to tell me what kind of manners I got to have in the bathroom. It wasn't sent to tell me whether I could read my Bible or not while somebody's up there reading notes. That wasn't why it was sent. Oh, glory to God. This message actually foreran me. You say, oh no, it foreran his second coming. That's what I said. This message foreran me. In the bride coming of Christ. As he's now coming in a many-member body. Friends, she's either got his word in her. He said, in that day you'll know that I'm in the Father, that I'm in you, and that you are in me, hid in God in a secret place. Hallelujah. You cannot fall. You cannot be deceived. Eve was deceived because she came out of her husband, and the part of her that could not be deceived was in him. He said, I got a solution for that. When I put my bride here on the earth, who's going to come out of me? I'll never leave her nor forsake her like the first Adam did. But I'll come in her. And I will not allow her to be deceived. I will reveal to her. I will teach her whatsoever she hears. I will keep her. It's not Eve separated from Adam. It's Adam and Eve. This last Eve will not fall, cannot fall, because he's in her. And he swore by himself. He said, I'm going to do this. Abraham, I promise you, I'll make you the father of many nations. I promise you, walk with me. Be thou perfect, walk with me. Amen. Well, how's that going to happen? Well, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? All of it?
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to make you the promise. And then I'm going to keep the other part of the covenant as well. I'm going to do what you can't do. I'm going to come down in you. And keep my word. Friends, only the word can keep the word. And you're a part of the word. But you've got the rest of the word living in you.
Amen.
You've got the fullness. Otherwise, you would be deceived.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Satan would come to you like he did to the first of the God race. If thou be the Son of God. If this, if that, if the other thing. Why can't he get over on you? Because the same one that withstood him then is withstanding him now.
Amen.
In you. Satan would love to separate you from him. He'd love to do that. Can't do it. There's an invisible union that has taken place. And it's unbreakable. It's unmovable. It's unshakable. It's indivisible. It's unstoppable. This truth is marching on, friends. There's a rapture on the road this morning. There's a people that are coming back into their position, coming to maturity.
And as they come to maturity, they are no longer hindering those that are asleep. The liens have been taken away. The requirements that had to be met in the bride are being met. I find no fault in her. That court trial, friends, even the titles of these messages. Who is this? Melchizedek. It's not a question. Who is this? Melchizedek. Not Brother Branham. Your high priest. Your high priest has come and stepped into a body. I saw another mighty angel descend from heaven. Glory to God. A rainbow, a covenant over his head, showing that he's a covenant high priest. Coming for a covenant people. Christ returning in a body, a many-membered body. That's why we don't say, this is puzzling to people. And this might sound a little flattening to you this morning too. But I'm not the bride. And you're not the bride. And you're not the bride. And you're not the bride. Well then what am I? Well so far I've only pointed to sons. So I guess I would have to say you're a son of God. You're a son of God. You're a son of God. I'm a son of God. But when you take these sons of God and round them up with daughters of God and combine them together, that's the bride. And he is in her. None of us have. Friends, there's a portion of the word that's been placed in you. And then there's a portion of his life, as we said here last week. If I had a teaspoon of what was in the Pacific Ocean, I don't have the Pacific Ocean, but whatever's in the Pacific Ocean is in that teaspoon. And it's enough to speak a world into existence and go live on it. You say, well, when's that ever going to be proven? It is. I've already spoke a world into existence. You're saying, oh, I don't feel good. I ain't saying that. No, I'm living in a different world than you. I feel great. Even if my nose is running, I feel great. You say, I'm depressed. Not me. I'm heaven bound. You say, I'm no good. Not me. I'm a son of God. You say, I never will amount to anything. Not me. I always was a son of God. I'm the prodigal son that has come to his senses, that's come back from the dead. You hath he quickened, who were once dead in sins and trespasses. Devil, it's too late. The waved sheaf has been offered. It's been waved before us. It was accepted. There was no fault found in him. No one could disprove this living word in this hour. Nobody. It was fully vindicated. Nobody. Convenient. They want to crop up, you know, generations later and say, well, I don't know about this and I don't know about that. Why didn't you say something then? Because you're smarter than you look. Come on, church. I'm sure there were people that came up, because there still are. Tens of years later, hundreds of years later, and now thousands of years later, saying, well, I don't know about Jesus. Well, you weren't there. So glad we got a record. But more importantly, we got more than a record. We got proof. Why? Because he's here. Vindicating his word. Proving his word. Showing that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Wave before the people. Showing me that I've been accepted. Hallelujah. Well, why do you need to know that? Because I need to know that. I need to know who I am. And when I fully know who I am, Satan will be absolutely thwarted. You say, why isn't he already? Because I'm coming to the full knowledge of who I am. Hey, friends, it's been prophesied. Well, hallelujah. That word again is waved over the people, that the dead traditions of man is dead, that the Son of God is alive again with the baptism of the Holy Spirit right among us and is giving us life. As Christ was the first one to raise from all the prophets and so forth, although typed in many places, he was the first fruits of those that slept. In the bride coming of Christ, coming out of the church, there'll have to be a sheaf waved again in the last days. Oh my. Amen. Yeah. Waving of the sheaf. What was the sheaf? The first one that come to mature. The first one that proved that it was wheat. That proved it was a sheaf. Hallelujah. I'm sure you see what I'm talking about. I wonder how many did. One time. It was waved over the people. And the first time there will come forth for the bride age, for a resurrection out of dark denominationalism, will be a message that the full maturity of the word has turned back again in its full power. And being waved over the people by the same signs and the same wonders that he did back there. Proving himself again. Because I live, you shall live also. You live also. Speaking to his wife. Oh, I love that. Because I live, ye live also. What a resurrection that was. And what a resurrection this is. To be quickened from the dead. Friends, I came out of denominations. The darkness of denominations. What a resurrection that was. What a resurrection this is. To be quickened from the dead. To be made alive in Christ Jesus. I couldn't live that life. But I came forth and was quickened. And now he's living that life. How many can say amen to that? 31 years and counting. I have now lived longer as a new creation than I did as an old creation. What a resurrection this is, to be quickened from the dead, to be made alive in Christ Jesus by God's quickening power. He was waved to them, the word. I hope you're listening to this morning. He was waved at the inauguration of the first church, not the first church age. The church ages are still going on, but you've been called out. He had fault with the seventh age. We're still living in that age. But we've been called out because he's dealing now with his bride. Separate from the age. Because the age put him out. So he said, honey, would you mind coming out as well? They don't want me in there. They probably don't want you either. So we met with him without the cap. Outside of all the camps. Yeah. And we're now in an invisible union. Amen. Well, where's the revival? Right here. Where's the evidence? Everywhere you look. How many miracles have we seen just from this virus that's coming through the land? There's been prayer request after prayer request after prayer request, and we've seen miracle after miracle after miracle. Lovely family, teacher Micaiah, on the deathbed. Doctors gave up hope, and you've been praying. And he knows it. The brother knows it. And he wants to thank you, by the way.
Amen.
And we thank him.
Amen.
I'm trying to pull over. This ain't my fault, it's yours. Oh, why don't we just stay in this realm? So he had to be waved the first time, and when he was waved, a church was born, and the pillar of fire appeared and divided itself, right? Now he's being waved again. Pillar of fire has appeared. And he's not dividing himself, he's bringing himself back together. This time for a catching away. But it's the same one. Not one of us will go to the other side and they'll say, well, how did you do it? Well, you know, I'm just a little more clever than the next guy. And you know, I just said, bless God, I ain't part of that. And I ain't going to do this. No, you'll say just what everybody else did. I overcame by the word which he gave me, which created a testimony in my life, and by the blood of the Lamb. Not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith the Lord. Oh, I just barely made it. Not me. I was predestinated. God didn't just barely keep me. He kept me. In spite of myself. You're saying that in past tense. That's right. It's already done. How do I know? Because it's been waived. It's been accepted. Just waiting to take one more step, Brother JJ. One day I'm going to take another step. Into my theophany.
Right.
Not yours, don't worry. We won't be playing musical theophanies. Whoop, somebody ended up without one. Clumsy me. Why don't you just push that person out of the way and then you can have the musical chair. Nah, there's one waiting for you. In fact, you've heard from it already and that's why you know that.
Yeah, that's right.
When you heard this word, you heard from your theophany.
Amen.
Oh, God, help me. What a resurrection that was. What a resurrection this is, to be quickened from the dead, to be made alive in Christ Jesus by God's quickening power. He was waved to them the word, which he was. It was the full word that they received, and it was the full word that brought them to a birth. The church ages began to take away from that. So it had to be restored. The word which he was waved back to them on the day of Pentecost. The word made manifest. Now, and as I say, it's to be waved again in the last day.
Amen.
And I say this day, this has been fulfilled.
Amen.
There was the first sheaf that come up from all the prophets, which was the Son of God, the King of all the prophets. There has been churches, brides, brides, churches, brides, brides, but there has got to come one, hallelujah. There has to come a real bride. There must come one that's not only got the mechanics, but the dynamics of it that makes that church live, move into the power of his resurrection. First fruits. She's not sleeping with the rest. She's alive.
Amen.
The church is sleeping. She is alive. She is already resurrected spiritually at the new birth, at the new creation that takes place in her soul when that gene seed is quickened. Let me just read these scriptures real quick without comment and we'll pull over. Romans 8:22. For we know, not we hope or we wonder or somebody told us. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the fullness of our adoption, which is the redemption of our body. We've got a down payment of it. We're waiting for the fullness. Romans 11:16, for if the first fruit be holy, Christ is the first fruit.
Amen.
For if the first fruit be holy, the lump also is holy. And we are that dough, that lump.
Amen.
And if the root be holy, so are the branches.
Amen.
I'm the vine, you're the branches.
Amen.
James 1:18, of his own will begat he us. Of his own will. Somebody say that this morning. Of his own will. Oh no, I just decided I'd become a Christian. I just decided that I'd become the bride of Jesus Christ. I just decided I'd become his wife. I decided, Brother Henry, that I want to sit on his throne. So, yeah, it's just my choice. He didn't have any say-so in it. It was my choice. He didn't decide anything before you even got here. He predestinated a bride of his own creation. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You say, I don't like this because it takes away my free will. It's not taking away your free will, friends. Let me ask you this. Did the first fruits of the creation, the new creation, did Jesus Christ have a choice? Did he have a choice?
Yes.
Sure. But because of who he was, how could he do different than what he did? If you came from God, how can you act like somebody that didn't come from God? If you're a part of his word, how can you not be the fulfillment of his word? His word will not return unto him void, but will accomplish what he has sent it to do. If you are flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, you are part of him. Amen?
Amen.
And it will be fulfilled on earth what has already been done in heaven.
Amen?
Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Well, you make it sound so easy. No, it'll be a battle. Just as it was a battle, friends. The firstborn of the new creation fought his greatest battle right there at the end. And it was a battle of wills. Lord, if there's any way that I can bypass this, would you let me go a different way? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He made the harder choice. And because of that, a great portion of heaven awaits him.
Amen.
You say, oh, that was to the prophet. It's actually to you too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Amen.
We'll all make a choice. Right? But how could you choose otherwise? Not that you're a robot, but because of who you are.
Right.
How could the devil tell the truth when he's a liar? I wish he'd just tell the truth. He can't. Why? Because he's a liar. I don't know why we listen to him. Because he's a convincing liar, I guess. Huh? But he's still a liar. Aren't you glad you heard the word of truth?
Amen.
And you were begotten of the Father.
Amen.
Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
I'm ready to have church. I don't know about you. When the bride knows who she is, she'll do the greater work. When she can discern the two spirits, not 3, 4, 50, the two spirits that work within the framework of the church and withstand that Antichrist spirit.
Satan will be absolutely powerless. Satan will be thwarted. Amen? We're walking right into that right now. Some of us are on the doorstep. Some of us are walking into it. And it's based on the Word showing us who we are. Not who we're trying to be or who we want to be. Who we are. I'm not talking about this failure right here. We're talking about what's down on the inside. That hidden treasure. That tithe offering. Glory to God.
Amen.
That part of you that was given to your high priest as first fruits. Listen, he's first fruit. We read that, right? But then there's another first fruit. That's you. And first fruits has to be offered to someone. Who are you offered to? You're a high priest. There's the pattern. Glory to God. Oh, what a contrast, huh? Deity in humanity. Let's bow our heads. Father, I'm in awe this morning as I see these things that have just been laying in the scriptures, waiting for in due season. Lord, some might say, well, you know, so-and-so, you know, maybe so-and-so knew this before so-and-so or whatever. But Lord, this isn't about, first of all, it's not a competition. Second of all, it's not about you dealing with every portion of the body in exactly the same way at exactly the same time. But Lord, you've sent ministering gifts because there's different ones and they need certain kinds of ministry. And Lord, the things that are brought, it's spiritual food in due season. And Lord, we're certainly eating in due season. We know that. And we're so thankful and grateful every time we come together, Lord, for your faithful. You always have fresh manna prepared for us. It's not that it's fresh in that nobody's ever heard it before, but Lord, it's fresh in the sense that you're bringing it to us and revealing it to us as we have need of it. And Lord, I just want to say to you this morning, be it unto me according to thy word. I surrender, Lord. Not my will, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, may I be more surrendered to you. May I be more submitted to you, Lord, as we are in the very closing hours of the Gentile dispensation. We're seeing wars and rumors of wars. We're seeing men's hearts failing for fear. We're seeing a uniting time and signs. We're seeing Israel in her homeland. We're seeing scripture fulfilled. And Lord, we've received our last sign. We're convinced of that. But now, Lord, we're at the time when there's a ripening of grain that's taking place. Lord, that there's a sheaf offering that's been waved, and there's a loaf that's been baked and prepared and that's being offered. And Lord, that's a sure sign to us that the harvest is coming to a close. And the next thing in store is that great meeting in the air when you come to gather together unto yourself all that has been produced, when you gather those first fruits unto yourself. Father, we just pray that you'd move on every heart this morning. Lord, that you'd comfort those that are discomforted in this time. Lord, we know that, as we mentioned last time, Lord, we know that that we've been deprived of fellowship in some ways. That we are social creatures, and we know that it's uncertain times, and that it's shaky times, and it's fearful times for some. And we know that, Lord, in the natural, we're affected by these things. But by the same token, you're not a bit worried or shaking or stirred up. But Lord, you've made preparations for this time. And Lord, you have encouragement for us, and you have strength for us, and you have a place that you prepared for us, solid ground, a solid rock, unmovable and unshakable. While everything is falling all around us, we're standing on a solid rock, and we're feasting upon heavenly manna. We're feasting upon a 7-course meal. We're in a walk. We're in a union, in a relationship.
with the living word of God. And Lord God, it is our desire to just be the fulfillment of everything that you declared about us in this last time. We want to completely and totally walk in the fulfillment. We want to be, we want to say this morning, Lord, be it unto me according to the prophecy, according to what your word says. Now, Father, if you were somehow able to cause Ruth to be the very fulfillment of a bride type without her knowledge of it, how much more are you able to do it, Lord, with a people that not only are they the fulfillment of your word, but you're showing them what their part is and what their place is. You're not going to wait 100 years and tell somebody else the part that we lived out ignorantly, but you're showing us right now what our, you're showing us our place in the volume of the book. We found ourselves in the book. Now, Lord, we want to walk in it. Help us, Lord, to set aside the things that beset us. Help us to set aside cares and, Lord, to not get caught up in conspiracies and worries and politics and just all these other things. We're not fearful of anything. We want to be respectful. We want to use the wisdom that you've given us, but we're certainly not fearful. Whether we live or die, we're in you. And you are our healer. You are our deliverer. You are our provider. You are our strength. You're our peace. You're our joy. You're our all in all this morning. And Lord, we just want to tell you this morning how much we love you. How thankful that we are, Lord, that to be where we are and to even to be who we are and to come to the recognition of who we are, to come to our right minds, Lord, as a prodigal son in type. We've come to our right minds as those that have come forth from the dead. And Lord, we just want to, we want to be surrendered, and we want you to be glorified. As you were glorified in the first of the God race, may you be glorified in the bride coming in this hour. May you be glorified in this many-membered body around the world. May your presence be manifested. May your word be vindicated. May it be fulfilled. Father, if there's a seed near us, may the light so shine in us in this dark hour that seed will come in contact with that light. Grant it, O God. We know that we're gleaning, but we know the harvest is still on. We know that there's seed that's still coming in. Won't you grant it this morning, Lord? Father, if there's any sickness in this body, Lord, we plead the blood this morning. We claim what you've purchased for it, and we're here to enforce those claims this morning. And we say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by your stripes we are healed. And we're walking in it, we're possessing it. Lord, if there's any that are lacking wisdom, may you give it to them, Lord. If there's anyone that's uncertain, may you settle them this morning. If there's anyone seeking a word from you, may your word come forth, Lord. Father, if there's any that have not fully surrendered to you, may they do so. And Lord, we surely will give you all praise and honor and glory. Lord, we ask that you'd strengthen us. Lord, that you'd help us to stand firmly and uprightly, not blinking. We have nothing to hide. We're not being nasty. We're not being, as the world would say, discriminatory. But Lord, we know that your word is true and everything else is a lie. So if that makes us something bad because we're staying with your word, we'll stay with your word. Let them, those that are suffer for the Son of Man's sake, we're told to rejoice. Lord, we don't rejoice in the suffering, but we rejoice in knowing that your word is being fulfilled, that you're being glorified. I just pray that and ask that your blessings be upon each and every one, Lord, not just those that are here in this building, but those that are listening in this morning, Lord, as this whole body is not all back together yet, Lord, and we're praying for the time when we are all physically back together, and at one time, and then, Lord, those that are going to be listening in, we just ask that your blessings would be upon each and every one. And, Lord, we surely give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is that I'm not my own? Yeah.
I'm not my own. I believe.